Oh, I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. I'm Tom Cooper, and I'm so glad you've joined me for today's lesson. Today's lesson is all about intentional living. Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. My mentor, John Maxwell, says one of the most impactful things that ever happened to him was when he was asked, John, what is your plan for personal growth? And Lead Yourself First is your system to help you grow, to develop those leadership skills that are going to help you today and every day. This is good, solid stuff. I'm telling you, I share these lessons because they are relevant to your everyday. It takes more than knowledge. It takes even more than intentionality. It takes action. And today we're going to talk about finding a way to have intentionality and action about your growth in areas that you might want to grow next. We've all seen people in leadership roles who didn't seem like they belonged there. They weren't equipped. And yet they got there. And what was it that helped them get there? Well, you might not have known some of the things that they know. And so maybe this program is going to help you do that. The earlier you start growing your skills, the better it's going to be for you. Now, I always ask, how are you going to act at the end of the lesson? What are you going to apply? What are you going to change? What are you going to teach? And remember, I always talk about how important it is to teach. You want to share what you are learning. You want to be a river, not a reservoir. Now, I've been looking forward to today's lesson. I look forward to it because I know that in my life it was a challenge for me to be intentional about my growth. And it was when somebody challenged me and said, Tom, you need to be intentional about your growth. That's what compelled me to make that change from being a victim to being a person who causes things to happen. Learning that lesson was very powerful because it opened the door for me, and it can open the door for you to tackle things that perhaps you haven't even imagined yet. Now, we're going to be talking for the next few minutes about your personal and your professional development. And if you use these ideas, they're going to pay off. And maybe for you, at the end of this lesson, you're going to want some help putting some of these ideas into practice, and I've got a way to do that. So, fair enough? At the end of the lesson, I will share that with you. One of my favorite inspirational topics on the quotes on the topic of growth is Jim Rohn, who said, if you don't design your own life plan, chances are you'll fall into someone else's life plan and guess what they have planned for you. Not much. I want to repeat that because I really, really like this idea. If you don't design your own life plan, chances are you will fall into someone else's life plan and guess what they have planned for you. Not much. So, like John Maxwell's mentor asked him, and like my mentor asked me, let me ask you as your mentor, what is your plan for personal growth? What is your plan for personal growth? Lead Yourself First is a great way to have a simple system that's going to help you grow. Are you taking advantage of it? The base program is going to introduce you to fundamental skills and topics like increasing your influence by building trust, clear communications, dealing with difficult people, managing your time, working with teams, problem solving, addressing relationships, being intentional about your growth, this lesson, responsibility, reflection and learning, consistency, character, so many more lessons. These are important areas to think about today, and we're going to look at a few questions which might help you to have some focus and maybe give you a little sharper edge on your personal growth. You ever seen that classic Christmas film, It's a Wonderful Life? I think it's my favorite film ever made. And George Bailey, in that movie, he's at a low point, and he's so filled with despair that he wishes he had never been born. Now, that story is really inspirational because we go on a journey with him and begin to see how his small acts of kindness and thoughtful care for others add up to a huge impact in his overall community. And we would all like to be the kind of person whose life matters, wouldn't we? Did you ever think about your life as a story? Did you ever think about the impact that you can have on someone else's life? That's what happened to George Bailey, and it convinced him that his boring, everyday life as a regular guy actually mattered a lot to people, and it inspired him and many of us to press in even further. So let me ask you, what is your story. If you could go back at the end of your life and talk about the things you accomplished, the things that were the most valuable to you, what would you have on that list? A friend repeated that line to me. Some people make things happen, some watch what happens, and others wonder, what happened? Which of those three are you? Some people make things happen, some watch what happens, and others wonder, what happened? Do you make things happen in your life? Do you find yourself watching what happens, or are you wondering, how did any of this happen in the first place? Of course, no one has complete control over their life. We're never in as much control as we'd like, but I often think we give too little attention to the things that we can influence or control, and we let ourselves think there was just nothing I could do. When it comes to your growth, there is always something you can do. And that's the powerful thing. You have the power to choose to take action and to grow. Stephen Covey said in The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he said, we should begin with the end in mind, that if we know where we want to go, that's going to speed us toward our destination. Now, there is so much that I could say about goal setting, and time does not permit me to do that right now. Suffice to say that knowing where the end is can be a huge help. So here is an action point for you. Think about your life 3 years from today. If we go forward just 36 months, and let's say that your next 36 months, the next 3 years of your life was amazing, how would you know? What would amazing look like in 36 months? Let me give you some specific areas. What about your family? What would your family look like? What would your career look like? What kinds of friendships would you have in place? What relationships that you have today might no longer be in the picture? What would your spiritual life look like? What would your health look like? You see, if you know what success looks like, you're far more likely to be able to move toward it. If you're going to be a change agent, intentional, purposeful, a person growing on purpose, the next step is to start small. What is the smallest possible step you can take toward your goal? John Maxwell says, we start small, but we believe big. We start small, but we believe big. There's a lot more that I could say about this, but I'll leave you with this. Take a baby step as soon as you can. Take a baby step toward your goal. What if you got just 1% better every week? And on the flip side, what if you didn't? What if you keep doing what you're doing? Is that going to get you what you want? Get started. Take the smallest possible step in the direction of your dreams. Now, there's another category to think about. Why do you do what you do? We often get as far as what we do or how we do it, but have you ever thought about why you do what you do? I'll tell you mine. I'll tell you why I do what I do. I believe you matter. You are important. You matter to God, and because you matter, I want to help you. I believe in your potential. I believe you can do more and be more, and I believe that because you matter, you deserve good leaders. I like to say, because people matter, we must lead them well. I thought a lot about why I wanted to start this business, and I'm convinced that making a key difference in your life is one of the things that makes my life more productive. Earl Nightingale said, a survey was made one time that covered a lot of men, working men, and these men were asked, why do you work? Why do you get up in the morning? 19 of 20 had no idea. If you ask them, they will say, well, everyone goes to work in the morning, and that's the reason they do it, because everyone else is doing it. So why do you do what you do? Search until you find your why. It might take you a short time. It might take you a long time, but don't quit. Maybe you want to be a better parent than the one you had. Or maybe you want to live up to a great example of parenting. Maybe you want to provide financially for your family. Maybe you want to have a strong spiritual life. Perhaps your health is really important. Maybe you want to be the best sibling you could be. Whatever it is, keep searching and learning about why you do what you do. Your why matters. What would happen in your relationships if you had a habit of thinking of the other person before you thought of yourself? What would happen in your relationships if you had a habit of thinking of the other person before you thought of yourself? My parents set a great example for me about hospitality and thinking of others. When my mom and dad were raising me, we didn't have much. And when I was in high school, We were not well off financially. But they always insisted that I could have my hungry friend, teenage friends come over to eat. Now, I don't know how my mom managed to stretch our grocery budget, but we always could welcome guests with food when they came. My parents were not sure what kinds of experiences my friends had at their home, but they knew they could provide a loving and safe place to hang out at our house. So we did. One of my friends in high school said, "Dad, Tom, your dad really likes me. He's always so enthusiastic when I come over. I think I could ring the doorbell at 2 a.m. and he would greet me warmly." Now, why was my dad like that? Well, partly because he enjoyed people, and mostly because he believed that my friends mattered. Who is the person in your life that you would stop everything to help? Who is the person in your life you would stop everything to help? Why is that person special to you? Another of my good friends spent a good deal of time at my house. We went to his house, too. His parents were divorced, and they had a pretty unhealthy breakup. And my mom and dad loved my friend. When he got married, he told my mom, "I could get married without my mom in the room, but I can't imagine getting married without you being in the room." My mom was astounded. She reflected later with my dad about my friend's love for her, and my dad asked, "Why does he love us that much? We haven't treated him any differently than we treated his other friends." And my wise mother replied, "Because his need was greater than the others was." My friend had a great wedding with both my mom and his mom in the room. What if you put other people before yourself? Putting other people before yourself is called humility, or being humble. Novelist and theologian C.S. Lewis said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less often." Putting others first means intentionally thinking of them before you think of yourself. Here's an exercise that you might find interesting. What if you created a rule for yourself, just for one day, that you would ask two questions before making any statements? You would ask two questions before making any statements. What do you think might happen? And what if you tried it and found out? Next, when it comes to intentional growth in your life, what's your sweet spot? What do you do really well? What do you love doing? What are you excited about? What do you love so much that you would do it for free? And don't worry, I won't tell your boss. Do you know what you're great at doing? If so, what are you doing to get better at that thing you're great at? I want to go deeper on this one. Who in your life would benefit from you taking that talent and investing your talent in them? How would you do that? How would you invest that thing you're great at in somebody else? When could you take a baby step on helping somebody grow? One is too small a number to achieve significance. Who is it that's in your inner circle? Who are like-minded people who could help you begin to grow? In 1937, Napoleon Hill published a book called Think and Grow Rich, in which he talked about one of the secrets that extremely successful people had in common. One of the things that set apart the most successful people in the world was that they had surrounded themselves with a team of people who challenged them and helped them to get better. Hill called this a mastermind. Others have said you become the average of the five people closest to you. I've heard it said if you're the smartest person in the room, you are in the wrong room. John Maxwell talks about the inner circle. Who is in your inner circle of friends? Are they challenging you? How did you pick those people you're closest to? Or did it just happen? If you're going to live a life where you are growing, you are going to be different from other people because you're going to have to swim against the current all the time. The current carries everyone along to the same kind of journey to where you're in that category of people who wonder what happened. You don't want to be in that category of people who wonders what happened, do you? You want to be a causative person, one who causes things to happen. You want to surround yourself with positive people, and that's how you make that a reality. Most people don't think like that. In fact, most people are a bit like crabs. You ever seen a bucket of crabs? As soon as one starts to get a claw up over the top of the bucket, ready to escape, one of the crabs in the bucket will reach up with their claw and pull that one back in the bucket. Average people are like that. They may challenge your thinking, like, "No one in our family has ever done that." or they may have other limiting beliefs that hold you back. My mom didn't like that I was having more kids, and I've got 7 kids, and she was okay with it, but she was worried about me being overwhelmed. And her limiting belief was damaging my relationship with her. I remember when our 3rd kid was born, she asked, "Are you guys done?" Her heart's desire was good. She wanted to limit the exhaustion that my wife and I were feeling by suggesting that maybe we should wait or not have more kids. But her limiting belief was trying to hold back my family. It was tough. And at one point I asked my mom, I said, "Mom, tell me, which grandchild don't you want?" Now that touched my mom's heart. It crushed her limiting belief, and she became an incredible advocate for me and for her grandkids before she passed away. Is there somebody in your life who presses you to go outside your comfort zone? Is there someone who challenges your thinking when you're ready to give up or settle? That inner circle can help you press on and refuse to give up. That's the power of the inner circle, and they may be able to help you come up with great ideas you might not previously have thought of. Who should be in your inner circle? This lesson is a bit unusual for Lead Yourself First. It's going pretty deep, and I hope you can bear with me a little bit longer. Who should be in your inner circle? People who hold the same values that you hold. Have you ever thought about the values that are most important to you? Have you ever thought about the things that guide your personal decisions? If you're going to grow on purpose, you're going to need to align your thinking and align your inner circle with the North Star that guides you. For me, personally, my top values are my faith, my family, my integrity, my growth, and my competence. Do you know what your values are? What about your inner circle? Who do you need to invite you on your inner circle, and who needs to move along their path without you because your values don't match their values? This lesson's run long already, so I'll wrap up with this. Take action. One of my friends posted a meme online that said, "Stop reading books if you're not going to take action, because knowledge is not enough to get you the results." It's fantastic that you're here. You're invested in a program that's going to identify areas of potential growth for you. You're getting the knowledge, so now we need to think about how do we turn ideas into action for you. I want you to commit to taking action. As you're thinking about what you can apply, change, or teach, your ACTs for today's lesson, I'm going to go through a quick recap of the lesson. What is your plan for growth? If you don't design your own life plan, you're going to fall into somebody else's life plan, and guess what they have planned for you? Not much. What do you want the story of your life to be? What does incredible success look like? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? Some people make things happen. Others watch what happened, and still others wonder what happened. Which one of those are you? What would amazing look like in 36 months? How would you know? Think about your faith, your family, your career, your health, and your relationships. What would success look like for you in those categories? Why? Why do you do what you do? Dig in, figure it out, because we start with why, and then we get to great results. Who is in your inner circle? Who should be there? How would you identify someone who ought to be there? What if you thought of others before you thought of yourself? What if you asked 2 questions before you made any statements? Try that for a day. You'll be astonished. Who could benefit from your strength, your sweet spot? Who could you invest in? Who could you train or mentor? What do you value? Finally, take immediate action. Massive action matters. The universe responds to action. So take action. What are you going to do to take action on this lesson? Now, maybe for you, you want to learn more, you want to do more, you want to grow more. I've got a 4-session mastermind coaching program on John Maxwell's book, Intentional Living. It's a great book, and it will help you identify areas of potential growth and help you identify ways to take action. We'll work together. You'll read, we'll discuss, we'll help you come up with your plan. It's $249 a person, and in these 4 sessions, you're going to develop your list of areas of potential growth, you're going to create a personal growth plan, you're going to be accountable to take immediate action. The program is filled with practical ideas that you can use right away. If that sounds interesting to you, drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com. That's tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Hey, thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.